We are in a study of the book of Joshua, and what a fitting time for us to be looking at what might be the most popular and most remembered account of Joshua's life. Children, what do you think that is? What do you think that is? The Battle of Jericho, right? You guys know about that? The Battle of Jericho? You know, I'll be honest with you. When I should always be honest with you. Why do I even say that? It's ridiculous. I'll be real with you. Never mind. I should stop trying that. As I thought about in preaching through Joshua, one of the hesitancies of doing something like this is that often books like Joshua is relegated to the Sunday school realm for children, and that's where it stays. And you don't often hear much from the historical narratives in church with adults, frankly, because in some ways they are hard to preach, but also they're stories, they're accounts, historical accounts. And, you know, we know them. And you guys know the Battle of Jericho. And so tonight, as you think about what we learned about today, Lord, teach me. Lord, I already know about the Battle of Jericho. But maybe there is some conviction that will come tonight, or some restoration in an area of your life, or just some guidance as we think through what takes place. So this is Joshua chapter 5. We'll begin in Joshua chapter 5. Now, Joshua chapter 5, I'm going to move quickly because this is so familiar, and I want to draw out some principles for us. In Joshua chapter 5, in verse 13, we read, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped. And he said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Verse 15, And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy. And Joshua did so." And so we have this encounter with the captain of the Lord's hosts. very likely this is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. There seems to be a reference of deity here. The very fact that Joshua is bowing in worship and it is not condemned is something to pay attention to. Chapter 6 speaks about the Lord speaking to Joshua through this one. And so it is a seemingly God speaking to Joshua here. And God is giving him instructions, and he will continue to give him instructions. So, remember the situation. Joshua is now the leader of the people of Israel. They have just crossed over the Jordan. Last week, we talked about memorials, remember? We talked about, we need to remember the incredible things that God does. And so, now he is to conquer the land. Conquer this land. Because it's theirs. I've given it to you, God says. But there's Jericho and there's its walls. And God comes and gives Joshua the instructions he needs. Dear ones, listen. God gives us the instructions we need. Sometimes we're not content with that. Sometimes we need more, or we think we do. We want more. God, what you say is not enough. Well, let me ask you this. Where do you find God's instructions today? I mean, God's not appearing on your out in your back 40 with a sword in his hand. How is God giving you instructions today? He's doing it through his word. Inspired scriptures, the word of God that we have and we hold in our hand. That's what his instructions are. And he gives us what we need for our lives. Oh, it's such a special truth that we have it. And it's what we need. God's word. Well, part of the instructions that God gives is how to go about attacking this place, this city of Jericho. Jericho is known for its walls. These walls that come crumbling down. Well, we know that in chapter 6, the Lord's instructions continue. In verse 2, the Lord says, "See, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." And so he continues to tell him what to do with this city. You need to go around it once for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, do what, children? What are they to do on the seventh day? Well, sound the trumpets, that's true. What else? Back row there, Serena. Shout as loud as they can. There's more. What else? Zach. March around it 7 times. Now, this is a very interesting battle plan. And this is accomplished. Why? Because God's reputation has gone on before them. The people of Jericho, as has already been described in the book of Joshua, their hearts are already melted. They're already afraid. Rahab has testified of that before they even crossed the Jordan. We are terrified of you and of your God. And she comes to faith. She believes. And so the people of Jericho are terrified already. And so what happens is God draws up this battle plan that will draw even more fame and acclaim to himself and to his people, and to specifically to Joshua as the leader of his people. Well, in chapter 6 and verse 8, we see the Israelites, they obey God's word. And it came to pass, Joshua 6, 8, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns, passed on before the Lord. They blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpet, and the rear reward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither show any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout." And so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp, and they lodged in the camp. And they did this for 6 consecutive days. And then it came to pass verse 16 now, jumping to verse 16. It came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now, one of the beautiful things about the narratives is that they draw us in to the experience. What we will often overlook with this account is these people, the people of Israel, are marching around in silence around this city. And that's all they're doing. And then on the 7th day, after the 7 times, they are told to shout. And it is this shout, after they shout, the Lord is going to do something. Now comes this time that you're going to sit there. You sit there and you say, "No, really? Has this ever been done before?" No. To my knowledge, this is the first and the last battle plan that God has drawn up where you march around a city. And then you shout. And the walls come tumbling down. What is God doing to his people? What is he doing? He is drawing them to trust in him and be people of faith. In other words, you had to be a man or woman of faith to even go out there and march around. Because if you didn't trust the Lord and his word, this is ridiculous. It makes no sense. And so you marched. So you trusted. This is a demonstration of their faith in God. You know what? We are called to demonstrate our faith today. James tells us, faith without works is dead. Now, you know, we're not talking about being saved by works. We're beyond that. We know we can't be saved by works. But when it says faith without works is dead, it's telling us there is some important things that accompany a true faith, and that is a life that is lived, that testifies that my God is real and I trust him with my life. Now, we're not called upon today to march around the city of Jericho. But you know what? We are called upon to trust the Lord in a lot of different ways. If I were to talk, provide as many people as there are in here as their situations, that you have been called upon by God, trust me. And you've got a choice to make. It's that crisis of belief where I'm going to say, am I going to believe God? And I'm going to trust and I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live it out. It's just going to spill out of me because of who my God is. And just allow this account to encourage you to keep on living out your faith. Now, part of the instructions before they shouted was this. And look at verse chapter 6 and verse 17 and following. And the city shall be accursed, and even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. What is God doing here? He is giving his people commandments. He is giving them clear instructions for this battle. Why? This is yet another opportunity for him to display his holiness. And the people, maybe they didn't truly realize this until what happens next. And those of you that have sat through a Sunday school class and you've heard the account of the Battle of Jericho and what takes place, you know what happens. Somebody took of the accursed things. For a moment, think about this. The book of Joshua was written for the Jewish people, for them to benefit from what God did amongst his people during this time in history. Indeed, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul even reminded the church of Corinth of this truth. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. You know, these Old Testament accounts are valuable for us because they reveal to us the heart of God, the character of God. And here, just like in the Garden of Eden, God gives a commandment, gives an instruction. And his expectation is for his people to obey. And so we can take from this, dear ones, that when God gives us an instruction, his expectation is what? Obey. Obey. Obey the Lord. Well, we know that the walls of Jericho, they did fall, right? They fell down. And Israel gained a great victory that day. Rahab was saved along with those in her house, and she became a part of the people of Israel. We know, though, that someone took of that which was to be wholly dedicated unto the Lord. So as we think through this, we're going to walk away as readers of this account, realizing that when God says something, he means it. Oh, how beneficial that is as we read through our New Testament today. Those things that were specifically mentioned and written for the church. Boy, these Old Testament accounts provide the foundation for our understanding of God. When he says something, he means it. He means it. We know about Achan, right? Achan brought trouble upon the people of Israel. Wow. This is just one man's decision. He was in Jericho and he saw these special things and he coveted them. He wanted them for himself and he took them even though he knew what God's command was. He hid them under his tent. How he got them from Jericho back to his tent without anybody knowing, I don't know. But he hid them under his tent. When we hide something, what does that usually tell us about that thing? About what's going on? If we feel like we need to hide something, then what? What's usually going on? There's probably something wrong here. Right? Yeah. I mean, we were all children at one point. Children are good at this. And it just comes naturally. You know, you know when you're doing something that's not right, and so you try to hide it. I can't tell you how often I have walked into a room and my boys stand straight up and they are as good as gold. But that little movement of standing straight up real quick tells me something. They didn't want me to see what they were doing 2 seconds ago. I'm giving you some clues, guys. But listen, adults, listen. Do you ever feel tempted to hide things? to hide things that are going on in your life? Would you just allow this truth to penetrate? If you feel tempted at all to hide something, then realize it's probably not worth doing. It is probably something that is not honoring to the Lord. You see, we can't hide anything from God. And yet, we so often try. And we will massage our conscience. I'm hiding it from everybody else, so hopefully God won't catch up with me too soon. Well, hiding things should be a flag. And may you listen to that as that banner flies and says, warning, warning, this is not of God. And may you remember that when God says something, He means it. His expectation is obedience. Well, we know what happened. Achan was found out. Joshua didn't know. But this was all found out at the expense of 36 lives. They lost the Battle of Ai. They ran in fear. 36 men died. One man hid a few things under his tent, but they disobeyed God. God said there would be trouble. It brought trouble. 36 men died. Joshua groveled in the ground and blamed God. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherever you have, hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name?" What is Joshua doing? What's he doing? He's blaming God. You see how sin, just even one person's sin, brings so much trouble to the point that Joshua, the leader of Israel, who just had a face-to-face with the captain of the Lord's hosts and had received the instructions from God, is now groveling in the dirt and pointing his finger at God and saying, "God, what are you doing? God, we are going to get destroyed here. Oh, if we could only have been just content to stay on the other side of the Jordan." And he is backtracking. This leader, this man who's been challenged to be strong and courageous, now backtracking as he realizes just how fragile the situation is when you're leading a group of people, and God's expectation is absolute obedience, and all it takes is just one person, and things change quickly. Well, God, what does he say to Joshua? Look at verse 10, chapter 7, verse 10, the Lord says to Joshua, "Get thee up." What do you think? How do you think that sounded? What are you young people? What do you think? How do you think that sounded? Do you think it sounded like, "Joshua, get up"? I don't think so. Luke, what do you think? Loud, probably. "Get up, Joshua, get up. Why are you lying upon your face? Wherefore liest thou upon your face? Israel has sinned." And this puts it where it needs to be. You see, God's saying it's not my problem. I have not failed here. it is Israel that has sinned. And this brings us to the core of why we need the gospel. We have sinned. We have sinned. We have transgressed against God. We have fallen short of His glory. Well, Achan, he is found out. He is stoned along with his family. A pile of stones is placed above where they were. And the place was called the Valley of Achor. That is the Valley of Trouble unto this day. The Lord knows what's going on in your life. Even though you may think no one else does, God always knows. That is a tremendous blessing, because we will never get away with anything with God. You see, that's a blessing because God wants us to be in a right relationship with Him. He gave Israel everything they needed to walk in wholeness with Him. And He told them what to do and what not to do. But one man chose to sin, and it brought trouble. So then Joshua led them through, and they obeyed, and they took care of this sin. And God gave them victory over Ai. Well, we sin, and the solution for our sin is Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. This is our problem. This is our problem, not God's problem. It's our problem. God has given us what we need. We have this problem of sin. And God gave His Son so that we might have life. Because the wages of sin is death. And boy, how vivid of a portrayal that is with Achan. He died. Along with his family, he died. He died. Sin brings trouble. And you know it, don't you? We know that. We know sin brings trouble into our lives and in the lives of those around us. But dear ones, as Jesus Christ has come, He has come and He took upon Himself our sin on the cross. And He was that sacrifice so that you and I might be saved and have eternal life. You know, who would have thought that the message of Jericho could lead to the gospel? But you know, God uses these historical narratives to build for us the case of God and His goodness, His glory, His holiness, His character, which does not change. And the Bible builds with all of these historical narratives our understanding of our great and holy God, who knows all about us. And even the way the Bible ends, those who reject God's way are condemned forever. That's the truth. Well, church, many things you could take and apply from this tonight. Are you hiding anything? God knows. Are you struggling to obey God in a certain area of your life? Remember, God's expectation is obedience. Have you been saved? Do you realize you have a sin problem? It's not God's problem, it's your problem. Maybe tonight you need to come to the Lord Jesus, believe in Him as your Savior. It's the glorious grace that was talked about earlier tonight, that you might be saved through faith. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping us enjoy this account that is so interesting to us as children, but so many powerful lessons involved. Thank you for recording these for us as an example to us, to provide admonition and warning, that we might take heed lest we fall. God, work mightily in your people. This week, as we go from this place, Lord, we're going to encounter all kinds of situations, challenges. John is going to have surgery this week. Jody Utter's having a procedure done. There's all kinds of things, Lord, that we're going to face. Victories and challenges. Joys and sorrows. People who need the Lord and people who will encourage us in the Lord. But God, we know you go with us every step of the way, and we rejoice in that truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.